Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. Pastor Hal, the Lord is answering our prayers because Gayla has pledged 50, and Beverly in Riverside pledges 1,000. My 1,000. Thank you, Beverly. And Yvonne in New York has pledged 100. All right, can we get someone else out there to match Beverly's pledge for 1,000? So the good Lord is answering our prayers here. So here, I want to go back in this article we had. We're going to play that. We're going to play a clip. Folks, while we're playing this clip, keep the phone lines. The perfect time to call, 888-281-1110, credit card line, or 888-677-9673. We'll be standing by.
No Rogue Judges Act. It passes. Thank you to Representative Daryl Issa. Coming out of the House of Representatives, this puppy now making its way over to the Senate, and we'll see what happens there. We remember this. H.R. 1526, Nora, 2025, came out from Representative Daryl Issa, Republican, California, was in the House Judiciary Committee, and it has now come out of committee, and it's passed the full House of Representatives. You can see here in this little tracker here, pass the House. Next, we go to pass the Senate, and then, hopefully, it ends up on Trump's desk very quickly and is signed into law. So Daryl Issel, the man who was behind passing of it, said, "We took on the activist judges and their rogue rulings. Now it's on to the Senate to send this to the desk of President Trump." Now let me read to you what was inside the bill. Here is what passed out of the House of Representatives. H.R. 1526 coming out with a bunch of additional sponsors on it. Some of these people we know. We've got Issa, Orton, Weber. We got Gooden, Harris, Luna, Schmidt, Tenney, Langworthy, McGuire, Self, Higgins, Muser, Babin, and LaLota all in on this one. So here's what they say. The bill, it would amend Title 28 of the United States Code and do the following. Saying there is now a new limitation. They're going to add at the end of one section the following statute. Saying, except as provided in subsection B, notwithstanding any other provision of the law, no United States District Court shall issue any order providing for injunctive relief except in the case of such an order that is applicable only to limit the actions of a party to the case before the district court with respect to the party seeking injunction relief from the district court and non-parties represented by such a party acting in a representative capacity pursuant to the federal rules of civil procedure. So in other words, if a party is certified as a class or something under the rules, they can be covered by the injunction. It's good, but it's also a little bit loose because remember, a lot of these are being treated not as injunctions, but as TROs. So I guess the question for interpretation would be, is injunctive relief also applicable to TROs? This is the labeling problem the Democrats have had forever. They call preliminary injunctions TROs so that they're not appealable. So does that stop that at all? Because they're just going to keep doing it, just calling them TROs and extending them. Now, eventually the TROs mature into preliminary injunctions, but this could be tighter. This could also go to TROs. Doesn't look like it's there yet. If a case is brought by two or more states locating in different circuits, challenging an action by the executive branch, then that case, so like this would cover the situation right now by the 19 blue states who've all sued Trump. Well, what if they sue? Okay, so this first section might cover, let's say, like the AIDS doctors. The AIDS doctors came in, they said, hey, our AIDS business is going to get obliterated if USAID goes out of business. And we need our contract to be, you know, reinstated. The judge issued an injunction that covered all USAID, not the specific AIDS doctors. So that would apply to them. What happens when the state sued? So if the state sue, then that case shall be referred to a three-judge panel, except that that selection of judges shall be random and not a chief judge of the circuit. So in different circuit, three-judge panel, where would that three-judge panel be? The three-judge panel may issue an injunction that would otherwise be prohibited under subsection A if the three-judge panel considers the interest of justice, the risk of irreparable harm, and the preservation of the constitutional separation of powers. So that's like introducing another stay factor, which you would say, you know, the judges will just argue around that and just say, we have to do this because Trump is violating the separation of powers. Like, it's not, this isn't protecting the executive branch much. An appeal of an order granting or denying injunctive relief may lie to the circuit embracing the district or to the Supreme Court at the preference of the party. Okay, so that is creating a separate appellate track, essentially, to the Supreme Court that would, I think, overcome the objections that you see from Amy Coney Barrett or John Roberts, saying, we're not going to hear your case until this case matriculates through the Court of Appeals in the proper process. So this would create like a separate track for that, which would accelerate the process. But again, this is injunctive relief. So it's not TROs, which the TROs are much more temporary. And a lot of our problems here are from the TROs. The table of sections for the chapter is also amended, and they're going to add the following, and that's the bill. So it's a step in the right direction. To be clear, most of what we're seeing here are TROs first. We're just now getting to the preliminary injunction stuff, and the TROs are sometimes in effect for 30 days, at least 14 days, extended another 14. So it's a step in the right direction. It's not going to solve the problem entirely, but we will get some more activity out of that. So congrats to the House on passing it. We'll see if the Senate does the same. And of course, have the latest right here.
All right, we're back. Listen, folks, we don't want a king. I mean, we really don't. We don't want President Trump exercising authority he doesn't have. But at the same time, these judges do not have, they're out of their lane. They're infringing on President Trump's executive authority. And so that's why, the Founding Fathers, when they set up, they gave us the three branches of government. Of course, they forgot about the fourth branch, which are we, the people of the United States of America. The other three have to answer to us, but they sometimes forget about that. But anyhow, and so here, these courts, they don't have the authority to do what they're doing constitutionally. And so, again, this is why they're called rogue judges, rogue courts, and this is why Congress has the power to shut them down. And, of course, John Roberts, why he came, he ran to and made sure that he did not want any of them impeached, because once you start impeaching one of them, people are going to say, well, listen, let's get rid of all these rogue judges. And there you go. Anyhow, the phone number is 888-281-1110. That's the credit cards, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Okay, Pastor Hal, did you know what the Democrats are saying out there? This is they're telling us that we got to get prepared, because it says that Donald Trump is going to be declaring martial law this coming Sunday. I think this coming Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
The left comes back pretty quick, too.
Here's the article. The left is melting down once again, and this time it's over a tinfoil hat level conspiracy theory that President Donald Trump is preparing to declare martial law on April 20th. The same people who spent years mocking QAnon and now pushing a full-blown blue-anon fantasy of their own. The source of the hysteria, none other than James Carville, the aging Democratic strategist who apparently desperate to stay relevant. On a recent episode of Politics War Room, Carville was asked whether Trump was trying to provide enough unrest to declare a martial law and suspend the 2026 elections. And you're so correct to be concerned about this. It's getting worse by the day, and it's not going to stop. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. And I would be, it ought to be on high, high alert. The left's panic stems from a deliberate misreading of Trump's January 20 executive order, which declared a national emergency at the southern border and directed the Department of Defense and Homeland Security to submit a report by April 20th. Is submitting a report and declaring martial law one of the same things, Pastor Hal?
No.
No, not hardly. Okay. He goes on, the report assesses the border's crisis created by years of Democrat open border policies and recommended whether to invoke the Insurrection Act of 1807 for enforcement. Nowhere does it mention martial law, but that hasn't stopped the blue anon crowd from spinning dystopian fantasies. It's an amazing. Here's what it reads. The executive order reads this. Within 90 days of the date of the proclamation of Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Homeland Security shall submit a joint report to the President about the conditions at the southern border of the United States and any recommendations regarding additional actions that may be necessary to obtain complete operational control of the southern border, including whether to invoke the Insurrection Act of 1807. That is not declaring martial law.
No. You know, it's a shame, Pastor, that when you look at what the Democrats stand for, you can't even make a list of half a dozen things that they did constructive all the time they've been in office. The only thing they live for is to tear down anything somebody's trying to do to make America better. They never come up with an original idea to do anything to make America better off and everything. It's just like the devil. The devil don't come up with anything original. All he can do is tear down, steal and corrupt and hurt what's already there, and attack people that are trying to, you know, live for the Lord and make things better. So, I mean, it's just like you said, it wasn't an understatement when you said they're an evil group of people, the politicians and stuff. And the people that are, no Christian belongs in the Democrat Party. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. You can't stand for all that devilment and witchcraft and Satanism that the Democrats are 100% back of and be a Christian. I mean, it goes totally against the Bible.
Absolutely. Trump says he's attracted $7 trillion investments. Since then, it's actually gone up from all these countries. $7 trillion in private investments. And these are companies opening here in the United States, coming back to the United States. And some, for the first time, are opening here. You know what that means? It means thousands and thousands of jobs. Not federal jobs, but jobs where people really do things. We're out there where they're producing a product and helping the economy, not draining the economy. All right, Tyrone in New York. Pledge, is that Tyrone? Oh, no. It's Yvonne in New York pledges 100. Thank you, Yvonne. All righty, folks, the numbers are 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. Here you go. Trillions of dollars are now involved. This is according to a report by Fox Business that explains Trump has revealed some $7 trillion investments income that is arriving in the U.S. We have, I would say, more than $7 trillion now of investments coming in. Trump said, Apple is coming in for $500 billion loan, and we have other companies coming in with massive numbers. We have our companies that are coming in. No, we have car companies that are coming in. No, we've never seen anything like this. Maybe in the 1940s or 50s something, but we've never seen anything like this. So here, you're sure not hearing much about this on the legacy media, are you?
No.
Here, higher numbers from nations, $1.4 trillion from the UAE, $1 trillion from Japan, Saudi Arabia, $600 billion, and India, $310 billion. Those are just some that are investing here in our country now. See, to a communist, a level playing field is not a good thing. And you've got Pocahontas out there screaming and yelling that every single Democrat's going to fight to the death to stop these tariffs. You know, Pocahontas wants to play. She likes to pay a lot of taxes, too. So, you know, maybe we ought to send her our tax bills to see if she wants to pay our tax, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember, this country was funded on tariffs. But it would be really nice you could do that if you had a level playing field, wouldn't it? Just, in other words, just what is fair. To a Democrat, the only thing that's fair is what's not fair. It's just unbelievable. They hate America. They just really hate America. Okay. We have Wendy. Wendy pledges $10. Thank you, Wendy. 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. And 888-677-9673. Now, I started to read that thing about Harvard because these elite, you know, they think the little people are just there. They're not important. You know what? If we let them keep their tax dollars, they'll just waste it on themselves. You know, the elite, they need those tax dollars, and we need to continue to drain the government, you know, with funds. By the way, we know that we can, as long as we're getting huge amounts of donations from Saudi Arabia, from Iran and these other countries, then we'll go with our anti-Israel, our anti-Semitic programs, and we will not let any president or any authority at all tell us, we're Harvard, you don't tell us what to do. President Donald Trump has been at odds with many players in the American profitable higher education industry for some time. These campuses frequently were the scenes of many, many anti-Israel protests and protests in support of the Hamas terrorists in Gaza, who slaughtered 1,200 Israeli citizens in their war-launching attack on October 7, 2023. That's resulted in accusations of anti-Semitism, and demand from President Trump that officials running these lucrative institutions balance the equation and protect, listen to this, Trump actually wants them to protect Jewish students. How radical can you get, right? Okay. I mean, here, Harvard is among those who officially have simply refused to cooperate. Do you know who hates the Jews more than anybody? Apostate Jews. They've always been the ones, the people. Take a look at it. You have people like George Soros, for example. I know a lot of these people who are, you know, that are very anti-Jewish, and they're Jews. And it's just remember Korah and his band?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they're like Korah and his band, okay? And here you have these groups of Jews that are anti-Israel Jews. And they're out there in the streets marching with, but they're really, really not Jews. Well, you know what's happening, Hal? Payroll-driven theater. Anti-Trump, anti-Musk protesters are staged and paid. Bust in, they're scripted, and they're clocked out. And that's who some of these people are that show up as Jews for Hamas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here. We're the weekend hands-off demonstrators protesting President Donald Trump and his Doge leader, Elon Musk, authentic. And it shows a picture of these. this one guy, he's an older one, he was bust in. He's standing there, and so she were asked, why are you here? What are you doing here? And his answer was, I don't know.
Yeah.
Videos emerging on social media are casting doubt as some of the protesters apparently had no idea why they were there, okay?
Right.
I saw that interview. It's just unbelievable. On Saturday, the Associated Press reported the events were organized for more than 1,200 locations in all 50 states, more than 150 groups, including civil rights organizations, labor unions, LGBTQ, that's lewd, belligerent, gross, transgressing queers, veterans, and election activists. Thousands of protesters in cities dotting the nation from Midtown Manhattan to Anchorage, Alaska, including the multiple state capitals assailed. You know, they used to use money for USAID to pay for all these protesters, okay? you know, tax dollars' money to pay for all of this. And so here, assail Trump and billionaire Elon Musk's actions on government downsizing, the economy, immigration, and human rights on the West Coast in the shadow of Seattle's iconic Space Needle. Protesters held signs with slogans like, "Fight the oligarchy." Protesters chanted as they took to the streets in Portland, Oregon, Los Angeles, where they marched from Pershing Square to City Halls. You've got communist activists. You've got a lot. Did you notice that the majority of these people are young women, college age? They outnumber the boys, the men, college age there by quite a bit, okay? And there's a good reason for that, isn't there?
Well, the guys are going to trade school where they're making more money.
Yeah, it's because more of these young, they're being indoctrinated, and they're easier, you know, easier to influence. That's where the communists have done their work. They know who is the easiest to indoctrinate, who's the easiest to recruit, who's the easiest to deceive.
And every country that the communists took over, the first thing they did was kill the traitors of that country that helped them take over. They put them against the wall and shoot them because they figured if they would turn on their own country, then the communists couldn't trust them not to turn on them someday. So the news media in America, if the communists ever did take over America, the news media would be the first ones to go against the wall and get shot by the communists who they helped, you know, overtake America. And all the left wing. And, you know, the Jews that are against the Jews and the Jews that are against Israel, they're what you call the synagogue of Satan. You know, they might be Jews in the flesh, but in the spirits, they're the enemies of God and everything. Just like, you know, the people who rebelled against Moses out in the desert. And the ground opened up and swallowed them up alive. And Hillary Clinton and Kerry and so many others, George Soros, you know, they're Jews after the flesh, but that's where it stops. And you know how stupid these people are is that the Islamists actually have said that once they kill all the Saturday people, which is the Jews, they're going to destroy Western civilization. They're going to destroy the Sunday people and all the Western. So, in other words, all these college students and everybody else that are waving around Hamas flags and everything, they're going to be put against the wall and shot down dead, too, if the communists and the Islamists ever took over, because they're not going to waste any time, getting them out of the picture. And so it's just so stupid. It's not funny. It's ridiculous.
You know, they said when we're going to do, after we eliminate the Saturday people, we'll go after the Sunday people, meaning the Christians. What they're saying, you're right. But, you know, you notice some of these things, too. For example, you mentioned Hillary, you know, Hillary's a Jew, and she's very pro-communist, anti-Semitic. But here, now, Chucky Schumer did not respond the way that they expected him to do. Chucky Schumer was supposed to really come out on the side of Hamas, and he failed to do that. He failed to betray, you know, his own people. And so they're throwing Chucky under the bus more and more. They're getting rid of him. And I think, you know, you saw that. That's the reason why that Governor Shapiro was not chosen. We started to talk about that at the beginning of the program. Was not to be vice president because he was Jewish, okay? And so yeah, the Communist Party here is very anti-Semitic today. And again, these people, the Lord Jesus referred to as the seeds, and the Apostle Paul, the seed, but not the sons of Abraham. And you find out the ACLU, for example, these communist organizations, they're flush with apostate Jews, with what Scripture calls them, the seed, but not the sons of Abraham. You know, Jesus referred to them as the synagogue of Satan. So, and that's who's out there. You have a lot of them out there today.
And you know, Pastor, with these politicians that are getting bribed by China to destroy America and everything, what they don't think about is that all the money, like Biden's got hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars maybe from China for bribes and doing helping China destroy America and everything. Once the Chinese take over, if that was to happen, and after they get rid of Biden and everything, they're going to take over all the banks and take every cent out of the banks that they gave to these traders. They're going to take all their money back. So the traders are going to be dead, and their fortunes are going to go right back to the Chinese or whoever it was that bribed these crooked politicians in the first place. All their land, their homes, their possessions are going to be gone. So what did they gain?
Well, you're right. And we, again, you take a look at, like you mentioned earlier, if you, oh, first I want to say BNB, BNB pledges 400. Thank you, BNB. And it looks like I pledges 30. Pardon? L pledges 30 and T pledges 30. And so thank you. Those numbers are, the credit card number is 888-281-1110. The other number is 888-677-9673. We have approximately 34 minutes left tonight for you to call in. And again, folks, we really do need your help. We really do. And so, anyhow, we have a whole lot coming up here. You have Congressman sues the government over post J6 Capitol Police. A congressman from Texas is suing the federal government for $2.5 million over the unlawful harassment he faced following the January 6, 2021 protest and riots at the Capitol. Representative Troy Nee, I believe it's Nils, a Republican in Texas, charges the Capitol police officer forced his way into his office, his congressional office, without consent. Then he photographed materials in the room, including a whiteboard with a discussion of proposed firearm legislation. Then the authorities followed up with an investigation by other officers significant in the claim that the police violated the speech and debate clause of U.S. Constitution. Both provides vast protections for members of Congress doing their duties. The first account charges intrusion on privacy for the entry of the officer onto the congressman's private office, taking pictures. You notice they didn't do that to the Democrats, only to the Republicans. A House Republican is suing the federal government for $2.5 million. Okay. Representative Troy Neal's unusual lawsuit. As a direct result of this exposure of his notes were photographed, and he was subjected to a criminal investigation. His reputation was impaired. He became concerned that he had been spied upon and that it could happen again to him. He suffered indignity and mental and emotional distress. The complaint filed in Texas charges. Then there is the publication of private facts, which the police, while doing that, violated the speech and debate clause in the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment. The third charge involves trespassing as the officers physically entered his congressional office without any consent. This wrongfully interfered with congressional possessions. Possessory interest and deprived him of the use, enjoyment, and privacy of his own office. There you go. All right, 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. There is so much happening out there. I have this one. We kind of talked about this last night. Here in the White House, Governor Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan, she was in the White House, and she didn't want to talk with Trump, but she didn't want anybody to know that. So she's hiding. She's holding this thing up in front of her face so the media couldn't get her pictures. I mean, how smart is that, right? They're all there. Everybody sees her there. And now, I mean, a smart person would have said, you know what? I'm not ashamed of why I'm here. I've come, you know, but here, she didn't want her fellow communists to know that she was there, okay? Just unbelievable. Now, what is Trump doing? President Donald Trump praised Whitmer as a potential candidate for the communist nomination for 2028 presidential election during a Wednesday meeting in the Oval Office, saying she did an excellent job describing her as a great person. This woman is wicked to the bone. Donald Trump, what are you talking about? We'll be back right after this.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he calls it, for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Alibaba. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
Absolutely, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. And we're going to be commemorating and celebrating that this coming Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. That's right, there was an empty grave there, folks, an empty tomb. And because he has risen, we will be risen. He defeated in death. And so, there, you know, Pastor Halk, can there be any better news for us than that?
No, nope, because he rose, we're going to rise too, that we want him as our Savior.
Alrighty. Phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. We have about 25 minutes. We have 25 minutes left tonight. And so can we get a match? One match. Can I get one more match for my 1,000? Let me see. Can I get a match for, let me see, Beverly in Riverdale. Can we get a match for Beverly's 1,000? Can we get a match for my 1,000? Can we get a match for the 500? Or Pastor Hal's 200? We'll take a match for any of them, won't we, Hal?
Sure will.
Alrighty.
Give it unto the Lord.
Amen. Amen. We need to keep fighting the fight, running to this battle. Then, there's paying the price, paying a heavy cost for going after a tax cheat named Hunter Biden. Joe Ziegler is not a beaten man, not for antagonist's lack of trying. Across his 7-year pursuit of Hunter Biden's unpaid taxes, Ziegler, a special agent in the Internal Revenue Service Criminal Investigation Division, and his colleague Gary Shapley were shunned, threatened, and lied to. Ziegler was doxed, and Shapley was told to accept. Okay, and guess what? The rest of that line's gone. The result during the hyper-polarized years spanning the Trump to Biden Trump administrations were predictable. The two men were accused of, here you got two honest people working in the IRS, actually trying to do their jobs there. And for 7 years, the two men were accused of partisanship, lambasted by Democratic members of Congress and the press, and had their reputations impugned by high-powered lawyers paid for by those sympathetic to the Bidens. You know, you were talking before about China. China owned Joe Biden. I mean, they came right out and said it. They came right out and said it. They owned Joe Biden and the whole Biden family, crime cartel. They literally paid him to keep the borders open. So here, now, these people, they do these things right before your eyes. Like right before our eyes, we watched as 20 million illegal aliens come into our country under the Biden regime. And as we're watching them coming in, he got Mayorkas out there, Mayorkas, coming on the news telling us that the border is secure. The border is secure. You have Kamala, who was supposed to be the border czar. Hal, remember, Kamala didn't want to go to the border. She got appointed that. She didn't want that because she knew. And I'm positive that the reason has got to be she knew that one of these days, what happened to all the children, that's going to come out. Where are all these missing children that got smuggled in? And I think Kamala wanted to make sure that she was no place near this. But
yeah, they needed a scapegoat, and she was a good candidate.
Yeah. But Mayorkas, see, now these people, now Trump is also saying that none of those pardons that they were giving these people are legitimate because they were not, Joe Biden did not sign those. He did not. In fact, Trump says he knows for a fact that Biden was not even aware of a lot of this stuff. He wasn't even, and Biden himself came out and made statements that he don't remember signing a lot of these things. So here, all this stuff is under investigation. They get enough. They got to go after these people. And like I said, Mayorkas, they really need to go after that fellow. They really need to go after him. All of these people that were involved in this whole deep state, they need to go after the Russia fraud. All of this stuff, again. So Trump says, and I think the message he's putting out there, that these pardons were not legitimate pardons, but we'll see what happens, okay, for two reasons. He said that you know, again, like I said, that they have proof that Biden wasn't aware of a lot of these things that were supposedly signed. So we'll see where that goes. Alrighty. Oh, 888-281-1110. We've got 20 minutes left tonight. 20 minutes left tonight. We've got, or it's 888-677-9673. This is going to be, you know, this pledge week's always a tough week, isn't it?
Sure is.
So, all righty. We got, you know what we have coming up, Pastor Hal? You're going to be there at the Geauga County Right to Life Chili Cooking for Life fundraiser, raising money to save babies. That's what we try to do, raise money to save babies. And that's going to be held there on Saturday, April 26th. It's going to be my last time. I'm going to retire, and this will be my last cook, you know, because I'm not going to let anybody talk me into it. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work out there. And, but I mean, the cause is a good cause, but it's a lot of work. And I'm getting too old for all this work, Hal. And so it's going to be at the Metzenbaum Center, 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland. That's the Metzenbaum Center, 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland. And it's going to be, we must protect and save the unborn babies. So, folks, mark your calendar and come on out and be a part of that. We're going to have some speakers. We're going to have some folks singing out there, entertaining us. And let me see what we got coming in. Edna in Massachusetts just pledges $300. Thank you, Edna in Massachusetts. Thank you. All right, we've got about 19 minutes left here tonight. So, 19 minutes left.
I just want to say that abortion is not health care. It's homicide.
It is. And in this ministry, since we have saved over 24,000 babies in this ministry since 1973. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it's been a battle. It's been a battle. I was out for 45 years. Hal, you know that. I was out in front of those bloody abortion mills, preaching heaven sweet, hell hot, going after the abortionists. I helped a number of those abortionists find a nice home in prison, okay? These are wicked, evil, ungodly people. And over there on Blood Alley, folks, there were four abortionists, one on every corner, four bloody abortion chambers. We knocked three of them out. The only one that's left was preterm. It's the largest abortion mill in Ohio, from what I hear still now. Over there, 12,000 Shaker Boulevard. And you know what? Our people are out there every Tuesday and every Friday. We have people from Doers of the Word Church come out in this ministry here over there at 12. And Friday at 12,000 Shaker Boulevard, and on Tuesday over there at the corner of Route 43 and Rockside at Planned Predators. By the way, Planned Predators is losing funding, and that's really good news. They're going to be, DOGE is going to defund. I think they've already defunded them. And so now it's going back to the states, and this is going to courts. And these rogue judges, these black robe prostitutes that are trying to keep the states from defunding Planned Predators. Tell them they can't do it. You got to keep giving money to these so they can keep killing babies. I mean, it's the most wicked, evil, ungodly, creeping crawler purveyor of death on Mother Earth is Planned Parenthood. They're worse than the Nazis. I mean, they've killed so many human beings over the years, folks.
You know, it's a form of Satan worship, too. In the Old Testament, in Baal worship, they murdered children, innocent children, as a sacrifice unto the devil. It was Old Testament Baal worship, and the Moloch was a type of the Antichrist himself, of Nimrod and everything. So when the modern-day abortion centers kill babies, they're just carrying on satanic ritual. Every baby they kill is like a sacrifice to Satan. That's their god.
Well, you will find amongst those people that work in those bloody abortion mills a large amount of witchcraft, a large group of witches and Satanists. These people, you know, we've exposed a number of that one abortionist who his own people, his own ghoulies that worked there with him, couldn't take it because he was, for lunch, he was having, he was eating the bodies of the babies for lunch. And this guy was just absolutely, you know, he was a beast, an animal. And some of the only, the people that worked there with him, as bad as they were, they couldn't take it sitting and watching him chewing on these little babies' bones, okay? Unbelievable.
This happens to a lot of kids that come over the border that end up missing. They found out that they were used after they got pedophiled. They were used in satanic rites, and after that, they were actually cannibalized.
Yeah. The Democrats have become a party of pedophiles. They've become the party of pedophiles out there today, and they need to repent of that, folks. You know, if you're out there, you should be absolutely, completely ashamed to call yourself a Democrat. You really need to, you should be, because it's not like it, what it used to be. You know, some years ago, there were some decent people in the Democratic Party some years ago. And, you know, there were not much difference between them and the Republicans. But today, the Democratic Party has become completely corrupted. I mean, completely, absolutely completely corrupted. There's nothing about it that's not corrupted. Okay. Did I mention Edna in Massachusetts pledges 300? Did I mention that one? Okay. All righty. Folks, we've got now to call in. We've got 14 minutes left. But, Hal, you have 7 minutes, Hal, to tell the folks how they can avoid that lake of fire. And those Democrats, they need to repent or they're going to be residents in that lake of fire. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. That's for sure. Yeah, the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now, I'd rather go to heaven than go to hell, and I'm sure you would too. And, you know, there's a lot of voices out there in the world that say, join our church or join our group and this, and you'll go to heaven. You do this and you do that. But the Bible says that God has a simple plan of salvation, and God has a way to tell us, you know, it's for us to get to heaven. And if you follow his way, you're going to get there. But if you follow man's way, then you're not going to get there. You know, a lot of churches tell you got to do good works, you got to keep the Ten Commandments, you got to live a good life. All that said in streets for the simple reason that if you could quit sinning right now, which you can't do, and never sin again, just the sins you've already done would keep you out of heaven. That's how bad God hates sin. He loves you, but he hates your sins. And the Bible says the only thing that can wash away those sins is the blood of Jesus Christ, the pure sinless blood of God himself was flowing through the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's not through your church membership. You're getting water baptized. You're joining. You could join every church in town and down and go to hell with all your membership cards. None of that's going to wash away one sin. But when you come to God with repentant heart, and repentance is simply admitting something to God that he knows anyway, that without Jesus Christ in our heart, we're just a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. That's a fact. And so even if you just committed one sin in your whole life or a million sins, the blood of Christ is what's needed to wash away your sins and make a new creature out of you and open the door to heaven for when you die, you go straight to be with Jesus. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That power is God's Holy Spirit. So when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, God's Holy Spirit comes in and he seals you into the body of Christ. And nobody can ever take that away from you, not your worst enemy or anything. Well, when I was a Lutheran, I used to think my being a Lutheran and my going to church made me a Christian and everything. Far from it. What makes you a Christian is by birth. That's why Jesus said in John 3:3, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You were all born the first time physically, but until you're born spiritually into God's family, you're not really a Christian in God's eyes. And that takes place when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, would give you the payment he paid for you on that cross at Calvary. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit comes in with him and seals you into the body of Christ, gives you that spiritual birth that you need. That happened to me when I was in the Marine Corps back in 1968. An old Baptist missionary asked me if I died today, would I go to heaven or hell? And I said, well, heaven I hope. And he said, you hope, don't you know? And I thought, this guy's nuts. How can you know right now whether you're going to heaven or hell? Well, folks, if God tells you if you receive the payment his son paid for you on that cross, you're going to go to heaven, then you can believe it, because God's not going to lie to you. And so that's why, you know, in Romans 10:13, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away those sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. If you want Jesus to come into your heart right now and give to you the payment he paid in your place in full on that cross, he'll do it. He wants you to come to heaven, but he's leaving the choice up to you. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's the gift. It's a free. Jesus did all the work. He's offering you that finished payment as a gift. You can either receive it and go to heaven, or you can try and get your own way and go to hell. And the reason man wants to work his way to heaven is because that feeds his pride. He wants to feel like he did something to earn a heaven. You can't do anything outside of come to God in repentance and faith and ask Jesus to come into your heart. That's what saves you. My job as a preacher is to lead men and women of Christ. If you, God's heard every word I've said to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows every sin you've done. There's no sin so bad he can't wash it away, or no number of sins so bad that he can't wash it away. Just come to him right now in simple prayer of faith and ask him to come into your heart. We can say a simple prayer together right now, but even though we're praying together, it's directly between you and Jesus. So what do you say we pray? God says today is the day of your salvation. He wants you to get saved now, not tomorrow or next week, now. So let's pray while he's knocking at the door of your heart. Oh, dear God, I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, I believe when you died on that cross, you were paying the payment for my sins on that cross. God was allowing you to transfer my sin onto yourself so that when you said it is finished, right before you died, you were telling the world that God has approved what you did on that cross as payment in full for every sin we've ever done. So all we got to do is come to you by faith and receive that finished payment. And that's what I'm doing right now, Lord Jesus. Right here and now, I ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul from hell. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, in 1 John 5:13, the Apostle John speaking to those who receive Jesus as their Savior, simple prayer of faith, but meant it and repenting about it. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Believe on meant that you received them, not just knew about them. And then that you may know, not to think it or wish it or hope for it, but know, 100% certain. What can you know for certain? That you have eternal life. Have it. That means right now you have it, because you asked Jesus to come into your heart and you meant it. And you have eternal life. That's heaven. So according to God's promise in your prayer, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, that means you have eternal life. That means if you drop dead right now tonight or 100 years from now, your soul will be with Jesus before your body even hit the floor. And so go ahead, Pastor. I mean, God promised you that. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right. Very, very good. Thanks, Pastor Hal, for being with us here tonight. All you folks out there, thank you. The Lord answered our prayers tonight because we did more than double what we did yesterday. And so I just thank you all out there. And again, I want to wish you all have a blessed, blessed Resurrection Sunday, all of you. Until tomorrow, we got to say thanks for being here. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We want to say God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
And as we get here at this time every week, and we did it before Trump did, when it comes to fight, right? Always keep fighting the fight. Fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.